Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us as on this first Sunday in Advent we meditate on hope. Let's pray. Father God, you chose Mary, full of grace, to be the mother of our Sovereign and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Please fill us with the grace gift of hope, that we may understand your ways, rejoice in your salvation, and embrace your will, through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have two readings for today, and the first is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14 to 16, and the second is the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, and I'm reading from the NIV. First, Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which I will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And from Luke, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Just to then, may God bless his word to us today and always. As mentioned earlier, our theme for the first Sunday in Advent is hope. But how are we to understand this hope we speak of? To begin with, this is no ordinary hope which is generally based on a reliable pattern in nature or in everyday life, such as the sun shining on any given day, or a loved one arriving home safely at the end of a day's work, or the ordinary hope that if one works hard and is disciplined, everything will turn out all right, and so forth. Ordinary hope is often expressed from an emotional viewpoint, based on a desire for something good in the future. So typically, when we use the word hope in the everyday ordinary sense, we express uncertainty rather than certainty, since we're uncertain about the weather, as well as the safe return of our loved one, not to mention the many variables that could undo hard work and discipline. On the other hand, the biblical understanding of hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen, and we do so with confidence or faith, for we believe something will come to pass because God in Scripture has made covenantal promises to his people. That said, to some extent, the biblical idea of hope has been trivialized to mean a personal hope and optimism with regard to our respective personal futures. And while there is essentially nothing wrong with that, the Old Testament provides us with a different understanding of things. For the Israelites, there was and is a singleness of mind in the overall story of the Old Testament, meaning that from the very beginning, every idea and prediction is not isolated, since there is one grand prophetic picture being presented, informing us that the history of the people of God in the Old Testament is not a series of loosely connected events, but an ever-growing development of a single account that would take us to a definite outcome or end result, that ultimately the kingdom of God will be established in and through God's Messiah. Jesus expressed this overarching hope well in John chapter 8, verse 56 and 58, saying, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." And then, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Needless to say, while that hope existed in the person of Jesus, the Jewish people of his time did not see him as their Messiah. Nevertheless, our reading in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14 to 16, forms part of that overarching hope, pointing to a future period of blessing for Israel, where five things would take place at that time. Firstly, the nation will be restored from captivity. Secondly, the righteous branch of David will be ruling over a united monarchy. Thirdly, the nation would experience peace and prosperity in the land. Fourthly, the new covenant with its cleansing from sin will be in effect. The opening line to this passage is, "The days are coming," which recalls the opening line in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34, "The time or day is coming," which is understood by the church to be the new covenant through Christ Jesus, but not, as I said, in the minds of the Jewish population. And finally, the fifth point is, the city of Jerusalem will be rebuilt as a holy city that will never again be destroyed. As with Jeremiah 31, these promises transcend anything that Israel had and has experienced throughout her long history. It is evident then that the promises will find their ultimate fulfillment only in the end of the age, when the kingdom of the Messiah is established. This will be when God will fulfill the gracious promise he made to Israel and Judah. But the dawn or introduction or advent of these things will begin with the birth of Jesus, born in Bethlehem. For he is the one who would fulfill the law and the prophets, and according to Matthew 12, verse 18 to 21, fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42 of that book. It says, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." By God's Spirit, this kind of hope dwells in us, his children. This kind of hope, firstly, enables us to live as God's people, despite what is happening in the world. In Luke, for the Jewish nation, life under the Romans was yet another oppressive situation in a series of many that they found themselves having to endure. Yet they lived in hope and did not give up on life or a future with God, which enabled them to still worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In addition, to look patiently to God for a change in their circumstances, to be rescued from the occupiers of their land so that life could return to normal. Their hope was fixed on God's rescue in the form of the Messiah. And so, how much more should we not live well, meaning justly and peaceably, as God's people in an unjust and ungodly world, not giving up, but instead supported and strengthened by the hope we have as God's saved people? Secondly, hope looks beyond immediate difficulties and moves forward. In other words, hope makes the best of challenging situations. For Joseph and Mary, there was no room for them at the inn. All that was available was a place with the animals. Not that spectacular, given who it was that would shortly be coming into the world. Nevertheless, hope prevailed, and the family made the best of their circumstances. For us, the saying, "When life gives you lemons, make lemonade," is applicable, meaning God's people should move from disappointment to a can-do faith attitude in the face of adversity or misfortune. See what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." For the Christian, hope that is born of the promises of God will echo the words of the faithful in Scripture. Thirdly, hope may be found in the meanest or most unpleasant and uncomfortable of places. I remember many years ago when I was single and found myself on the road travelling about. There were occasions when I rode on routes in the early hours of the morning and it was so dark and almost ominous, leaving me feeling all alone and isolated. But every so often I came to a freeway intersection and the hundreds of cat's eyes on the road would light up as they reflected in my vehicle's headlights, all over, showing the way forward as well as off the freeway. And it was so comforting to me, inspiring hope, as I was reminded that I was in fact not alone. But true hope, in the form of the babe of Bethlehem, was to be found in the most unpleasant of places, in a manger. And if God determined that Jesus would be born into those circumstances, then we can confidently expect Jesus to be with us in similar conditions. As we end, we must finally be reminded that hope calls us to live in preparation for the future coming of Christ as well. This is our confident expectation, our hope, which our celebration of the Lord's Supper reminds us of as well. And as we live with that hope, we will not be put to shame. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us or put us to shame, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. In the meanwhile, we celebrate the arrival of the Christ child, who would be the hope of the nations, of all who put their trust in his redeeming death on the cross, so that, along with the writer in Psalm 42 verse 5, when we ask the questions, "Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled?" we can quickly answer, "I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen." Let us pray. O God of all the prophets, you herald the coming of the Son of Man by wondrous signs in the heavens and on the earth. Guard our hearts from despair, so that we, in the company of the faithful and by the power of your Holy Spirit, may be found ready to lift up our eyes and hearts with hope that rises from your promises, especially the coming near of our redemption at the day of Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.